much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hot enough for you, folks? It must be 1,000 degrees out there.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And the terrorist, you know, situation. And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly. Call right now and we'll get right back to you. It's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
What the hell's that? What's up with that?
I don't care. What is kale? Is that fish? Yeah, what's up? Do you have anything you want to talk about? Or? Here's... That must have been a moment of party. Who knew that we already outdo that? My point is, come on. Remember Paula Abdul's? Crazy. They'll probably have his picture there with a sudden. I need meat. Give me your booty. But, no. Yes.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Give the man some croissants, will ya?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What?
I know.
Roll another one.
Something's got to be done about phone books.
Just like the other one.
This is the worst.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Oh, that's such a big lie.
And I need another.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine. What an idiot.
And roll. Roll another one.
Tell me a little bit about your show.
Just like the other one.
Kevin, please come over for gay sex.
This one seems to be about. I don't have another cent.
Any rational person feeling the way I do now would definitely stop.
Our audience is going to take well to this.
Just pass it around.
You're kidding me, right?
I will go till you tell me to stop.
And now.
Let's have it.
Our feature presentation.
Let's have it. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Friday the 3rd of October.
Just occurred to me that you have so much magic, so many great sound bites that we just don't get a chance to play them very often. So I thought it might be fun to hear a whole bunch of them at once.
I could hear that every morning.
That was great fun.
Yes.
You got to be honest.
Awesome. And I could have made 10 more just like it with all different.
I know.
It's very tough.
Without repeating, right?
Yeah, the original version of that was like 3 minutes long. And I just had to start chopping. So made me very sad.
Yeah.
All right, it is Friday. Hey, Muggs, what was that song we played right before the open? That was good. I hadn't heard that before.
That was New 30 Seconds to Mars, and it was called Do or Die.
Daddy Likey.
Yeah,
oh, you.
Man, do not call yourself Daddy.
Daddy Likey.
Don't. That's just so gross.
Nasty.
Ugh.
Here's an interesting article to get us going on today's excellent Kevin and Bean show, and I mean that. We really are. We got some good stuff today. This is a survey that the Daily Mail newspaper in Britain made of 1,000 women. And the question was, Lisa, you'll love this.
Okay.
Do you have a backup husband in mind?
A backup husband.
A backup husband. What do you suppose the response was? What percentage of women said, yeah, I know who's next?
I'm going to say like 20%.
Kevin?
I'd say it's higher than that. I'd say it's 40%.
Okay. How about you, Muggsy?
I'm going to go 100%.
Yes. Good guess.
Always that's a good guess. The best answer. Again, a survey of 1,000 married ladies in Britain, just at 50% of women said that they have a backup husband in mind. Should their current one break during use? If the marriage doesn't work out for whatever reason, some truly prepared wives have more than one backup in mind just in case. The survey also shows that the wife's spousal understudy is most likely to be either an ex-boyfriend.
Understudy.
Or an old friend who always had unrequited feelings for her. The most likely backup husband, and this is good for us to hear, by the way, so we can look around to our wife's circle of friends and pick out who the next guy is going to be. The most likely backup husband was a man that the woman had known for around 7 years, mm-hmm. who is ready and waiting because of unfinished business. Around one in 10 women say that their backup was a man who had already confessed his undying love to her. One in 5 women were confident that the backup guy would drop everything for her if she asked him to and became available.
Well, that's a lot of confidence. I don't know if that always plays through, but it probably makes you feel better.
Does it say what the age of the women are?
Because it doesn't.
If that's 70, if you're 70 and you have a backup, that's awesome. If you're
20, he's going to die.
Yeah. If you're 20, then maybe that's a little weird.
No, I think you're right about that, Lisa. I think there probably are a lot of friends that think they would like to be more in some sort of fantasy future scenario.
Yeah.
But if then maybe they really do become available, who knows whether that would work out or not. One in 4 women also reported having feelings for their backup man as strong as they do for their husband.
Wow.
Which is perhaps a step beyond prepared,
says
here. Experts, in case you're wondering what they say, is that the backup spouse is not a good idea because it undermines your present relationship. And you should take that energy that you're spending keeping an eye on your plan B to maybe make your marriage work a little better. So,
yeah, well, because partly if your plan B starts dating someone, that
you
would
make a
freak
move
you
quick.
Out. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Kind of reeling back in.
In the romantic movies, though, they always are like, well, if we're ever at a point where we're both single, you know, so sometimes it's okay for the person to date because you're not ready for them yet.
Right.
Here's what I like. I like that most of us go, I knew a guy, and Bean says, in the movies.
That is real life, Kevin.
It is real life.
So we draw from real life, and then Bean talks about the movies that he's seen and what happens in those. So that's not
right. Lisa, you got a backup spouse?
I don't.
Kevin?
No. Does that mean we should get on it? Like, I feel like Lisa and I are behind now.
Well, Kevin and I both have Beer Mug.
As your backup spouse?
You know,
both of you?
Well, I mean, he's there.
You said that out loud, by the way.
But that's about it.
Yeah.
Well, a little something for us all to be thinking about today here to get us going.
Bean, backup?
About 1,000 of them.
Okay.
Because I know how many are going to say no. So I need more than one backup.
It's a deep field.
It has to be. I'm going to get pretty far down on the list before I find someone who makes the mistake of saying yes.
Yeah. Well, especially if you call yourself daddy, by the way. That eliminates 999 of them. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Everyone you love will die.
Dan Harmon will be here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Creator of Community.
Boy, is he honked up.
He really is honked up.
He is.
He's a crazy person that has made it in TV big. And I mean, I think it's his craziness is what makes that show so bizarre
absolutely.
And unique.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's got quite a life. We also have Kings of Leon tickets in the front row.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Going to give you a chance to win those in the 7 o'clock hour. I've got What's Up with Florida. We'll tell you some more about the Secret Service and what's going on there. What the hell? People are just waltzing right up to the White House.
It would appear.
Just because they want to.
Or hopping on an elevator with the president carrying a gun.
Yep.
Well, the lady lost her job. I mean, it was getting pretty indefensible at this point.
Yeah, no kidding. RJ Bell, we will talk to from Las Vegas about his NFL picks.
Okay.
We have the movie beat because it's Friday, and we have some live music this morning from a little band that you might know called Weezer. That's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Yesterday, Rob was at the K-Rock blood drive down at Universal. With that creepy-ass doll sitting next to you. Looks like you were able to get away from it.
Yes. Annabelle released me from her satanic clutches.
Wow. Yeah.
You're lucky.
That was scary.
Now I'm in this room.
Better or worse?
Coin flip. I'll let you know.
See how the day goes.
It's like Beer Mug or Annabelle. I think I'd take Annabelle.
Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday morning with Ralph.
Listen, I get it. I know. I understand. Sex with an underage male is just as bad as sex with an underage female. I understand that. I know that. People in positions of authority, like teachers, should never take advantage of that and impress themselves sexually on an unsuspecting youth. I understand all of that intellectually. But when I read this story this morning, I was like, damn! Two female high school teachers have been arrested in Louisiana for having a three-way with a 16-year-old student.
No!
Yay!
Oh, my God.
Come on, right?
That 16-year-old is...
Right?
Oh, my God.
And I get it intellectually how bad it is.
Sure. It's terrible.
But
it's
the a sex dude crime. In me is saying, come on! The two teachers, 24 and 32, were arrested. The sex was consensual, but they were busted when the 16-year-old bragged to everyone who would listen about the sexual relationship. Police chief in Kenner, Louisiana, says if this was two male teachers and a female student, the community would be outraged. He's absolutely right.
He is right.
Mm-hmm.
This should have the same outrage, he added. He's absolutely right.
Yep.
And yet I cannot muster the outrage.
I attend South Park Elementary, and one of the teachers is having sex with a student.
Oh, my God. This is terrible. You did the right thing telling the police, Brad. Now, who is the teacher? What's his name?
Well, it isn't a guy teacher. It's a woman.
A woman?
Yeah, she's having sex with a boy.
Oh, but she's ugly, right?
Well, no, not really. It's the kindergarten teacher, Miss Stevenson.
The blonde?
Yeah.
Some young boy's having sex with Miss Stevenson?
Yes.
Nice.
No, it's not nice. Stop it, Kevin.
Now, if there's any downside, Ralph, is it that this young man's life has peaked at age 16?
No, it's like this will obviously warp his sexual development, and it's too much too soon. And I'm sure this will have a detrimental effect on him. And I feel sorry for him. I just wish it was me.
Mentally.
All right, let's talk about show business news. Congratulations. There's a new baby in the world. And that baby belongs to Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis. They welcomed their first little child to the world.
I bet that's a cute baby.
I bet so, too. Us Weekly magazine says they have a healthy baby girl. They're very happy with their little princess. Named Wyatt Isabel Kutcher. Wyatt. Little Wyatt Kutcher.
It's pretty normal.
It's pretty normal.
A celebrity couple.
Ashton said on his website yesterday, we'd love to welcome Wyatt Isabel Kutcher to the world. May her life be filled with wonder, love, laughter, health, happiness, curiosity, privacy, and residuals from 2.5 men. They found that Ed Sullivan statue. Breaking news. Ed Sullivan has been recovered.
Wasn't this like a mini statue or
it
something?
It was just a 20-pound bronze mini statue of Ed Sullivan that was stolen from the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences in North Hollywood. But it has been recovered. He's in good condition and resting comfortably.
I was close.
No details on where it was found or who took it in the first place or who Ed Sullivan is. But those details are forthcoming, I promise you. And it looks like things are getting tense over there at The View.
Uh-oh.
The View's having some troubles.
What's happening?
They've only been on with this new cast for like 2 weeks.
They've just retooled the entire show and already they're in trouble. You know why? Because they have Rosie O'Donnell and Whoopi Goldberg in the same room together.
Wow. But they're both super, super liberals. Why? What are they fighting about?
Well, there's a little problem. They hate each other.
Okay.
They do? Yeah.
I don't blame either one of them.
And they are
they're both right.
They're constantly arguing. Not only on air, but off air as well. Rosie O'Donnell will pick up the microphone they use to talk to the audience during commercial breaks and complain about Whoopi to the audience.
Oh, my God.
Really? Yeah, apparently it's bad. So much so that the New York Daily News reports that they are trying to build a timeout room where Rosie and Whoopi could go and leave the set when things get heated because tension is too much on the set and their dressing rooms are too far away for emergency outburst situations. So they have to create a timeout room like they're 5-year-olds.
There's no way.
Where one of them can go and be when things get bad.
That's crazy. Did they give them a blanket and milk and cookies too or no?
It's ridiculous.
That's insane. That's not the secret to a successful daytime talk show, that's for sure.
Or is it?
Oh, well, good question.
I'm just saying, sometimes tension and frustration leads to viewership. Look, it happened that way with Joey Behar was on there with that Survivor chick.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
People loved watching them go at it, so maybe.
It's going to take a lot more than just them arguing to get me to watch The View, though.
Ain't that the truth? You know what it's going to take? Those two teachers from Louisiana.
Put them on The View. Now we're in.
That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, the 3rd of Rocktober! Color me shocked.
Muggs had that up when you walked in. He had that.
I am stunned.
Yep, it's a new day, man.
Let's get going. Civil rights leader Al Sharpton is 60 years old today.
Please gain the weight back, Al.
Yeah, you're a weird bobblehead alien looking guy.
So weird looking.
Comedian Greg Proopst celebrates his 55th birthday. Tommy Lee, the drummer, is 52. Actor Clive Owen celebrates his 50th birthday today. Nev Campbell is 41, as is Game of Thrones actress Lena Headey. She is 41. Sean William Scott, 38 years old today. Singer Ashley Simpson is 30. ASAP Rocky, ASAP, 26 years old today. And Gwen Stefani.
How about that?
We love her. We adore her.
She's the best.
Lead singer of No Doubt is 45 years old today.
What? Yeah.
That's just not possible.
Yeah.
Did you say 45?
That's what I just said.
She looks like she's 25.
I know.
What's happening?
I don't know. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Forget the cowbell. Forget the cowbell. It's the coffee mug.
The coffee mug.
That's right.
Yep.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 26 minutes after 6 and time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat. Welcome to my world.
Wow. Wow.
What a weekend, right?
Wow. Well, good, well, bad.
Yes.
Both.
Yes.
Okay.
Here's what you got this weekend. The hero of Color City. The hero of Color City. This is for the kids. A little animated film about a diverse band of crayons trying to protect their homeland from a terrifying monster. Owen Wilson, Christina Ricci, Rosie Perez, and Wayne Brady all lend their voices to the project.
It's crayons.
It is the band of crayons.
Okay.
The hero of Color City. Here are some crayons, and they're getting into some crazy trouble.
We have to stay inside the shorelines. Blue, give the wheel to Green.
Me? Him?
He's the best at staying in the lines.
Oh, not cool. The lines are getting too close together. We'll never make it.
We're doomed.
That sounds like some pretty pretty serious coloring going on.
Yeah.
There's no movie I'm further from seeing than that one.
Well, it's for kids.
It's not even for kids.
It's for little kids.
Come on.
It's for little kids. Have a heart, you bastard. You know what's for you? The movie for you is Left Behind. Left Behind.
Based on the popular book?
It's The Rapture. It's The Rapture, Kevin.
Ah.
It is based on the popular book, Bean. In fact, this is a remake of the other movie that was based on the same book, starring Kirk Cameron.
That's right.
The legendary Kirk Cameron did this first.
How do you remake his work?
Well, you're taking on a bold challenge, sir, to best the work of Kirk Cameron, thespian extraordinaire. But they're trying. They did it with a bigger budget to pretty much the same effect, according to critics. Nicolas Cage stars this time.
Oh, great.
As one of a small group of survivors left behind after the millions of people suddenly vanish in the rapture, and the world is plunged into chaos and destruction. He's a bad dude, this Nicolas Cage. He didn't get sucked up to heaven like everyone else did, so he's left behind.
As unbelievable as this may sound, people from all over this plane simply vanished.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
The God my mother talked about would never do something like this.
It's not just here. It's all over the world.
Every time she mentioned God, he walked away.
And then everybody starts smoking, and these women are smoking outside these people's houses, and they're like, oh, we are the reminders. And they're
wearing white.
They're writing everything down, everything. It's nuts.
No,
everything's gone haywire. The dogs are roaming in the streets. And
Ralph, that's the leftovers. That's a different, completely different thing. That's a show on HBO. This is different.
Yeah. The Good Lie opens up this weekend. Reese Witherspoon is in a thing, and the Sudanese refugees and things, and I'm never, ever going to see this. Never. Ever.
You might see the Crayon movie, though?
I will go see the Crayon movie twice before I will see Reese Witherspoon in a movie about Sudanese refugees living in Kansas, where they have an employment agency counselor who tries to get them jobs. Oh, my God! I don't want to see this so much!
How does stuff like this get greenlit?
I don't know, but here are some clips from the trailer of The Good Lie.
I'm just supposed to help them find jobs.
Where is your husband?
No, I'm not married. I provide for myself.
Your survival skills are very impressive.
Are there any dangerous animals in this area?
Such as?
Lions.
No, there's no lions here. You're safe.
I had 34 brothers and sisters, and they all died but one.
And she need to be here with us.
That's going to be a problem. All flights from the Kakuma refugee camp have been stopped.
Since 9/11, the program here is stopped indefinitely.
She's a child refugee of war.
You sure you're ready to take this on?
Definitely.
There you go.
All right.
Gone Girl. Gone Girl. Now
zero
we're talking.
For three.
Gone Girl. Okay, Gone Girl. David Fincher.
This is it. This is the one right here.
Ben Affleck, Rosamund Pike, Neil Patrick Harris, Tyler Perry. Oh, we're so close.
Yeah.
This, of course, based on the wildly popular book about a man whose wife disappears. He becomes the focus of an intense media circus because it is suspected that he may have killed his wife. Did he? Did she stage? Did she fake her own death? What's going on here? Well, you have to watch to find out. Getting great reviews. This thing is supposed to be pretty intense. David Fincher, it's hard to go wrong with that
guy.
Yeah,
he sure is.
So good. He's a great director. Here's some clips from the trailer of Gone Girl.
Amy lost a lot of blood in there. Then somebody mopped it up.
Why do they mop up the blood if they're trying to stage a crime scene?
You assaulted her?
It's not good enough for you?
I hit her?
It's not even close.
Absolutely not. I never touched her.
We now believe Nick is involved in the disappearance of our daughter.
Without a body, without a murder weapon, their only hope is a confession.
Y'all know anything yet?
You asking me if I killed my wife?
Man of my dreams. This man of mine may kill me.
What about my son,
Nick?
This man may kill me. In her own words, this man may truly kill me.
I hear this is likely to start a lot of fights between couples leaving this movie theater this weekend.
Yeah, well,
a lot of respect.
Give you the back of my hand.
I don't think that's the solution.
What? Is that the point?
I don't think so.
Oh, I'm getting left behind with Nicolas Cage. And finally, Annabelle. Yeah, that's right. You heard me. Spooky doll coming to life with a demon living inside of it. I'll have no part of this. Thank you.
You survived Annabelle yesterday.
Scary dolls freak me out.
Yeah.
And this is the story of Annabelle, the little scary doll who starts terrorizing a home after satanic cultists invade the home. And one of the cultists bleeds on the doll and the demons inside the doll. Oh, it's a nightmare. It's just a train wreck. Here's a scene from Annabelle where a priest is trying to explain what the demon inside the doll wants.
Demons can sometimes use objects as conduits to achieve their desired goal.
Their desire goal?
Our souls, John.
It wants her soul.
No, no, no. Demons can't just take souls, Mia. Soul needs to be offered to the demon before he can take it.
Well, I don't plan on offering my soul anytime soon.
The devil is the father of lies. Demons are his manipulators. No one ever plans to offer their soul.
How do we get rid of it?
I don't know.
Except for a few small changes, that could be the same conversation we have about beer mug almost every day.
It wants your soul. How do we get rid of it? I don't know. I don't know how to get rid of it. It wants to eat your soul.
Annabelle, of course, it's Halloween time. That's a great, scary movie. Gone Girl, that seems to be the choice this weekend. And no.
Crayons?
No crayons. No, right. No Sudanese refugees. No, okay. No rapture. Stop that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
I'll let you know. Is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
Got a lot of show coming up, including NFL picks for Week 5 with our friend RJ Bell from pregame.com in Las Vegas in about a half an hour. What's up with Florida on the show today? Front row seats for Kings of Leon. Community creator Dan Harmon will be here. Weezer performing live at 9. This is actually too much show for us.
It is.
I don't think we're the right captains to continue to steer this ship today.
It's no, too, I know that's true.
Too much. Too much indeed. In the news...
Trouble in the Secret Service.
Yeah, what's going on? I thought the Secret Service was the top of the food chain.
Yes. You would expect that to be the case. You would expect that by time you're involved in the Secret Service, you are the very best that law enforcement has to offer, right? Because you have the most important job, and that's to protect the President of the United States. Well, the Secret Service director had to resign, and here's a little bit of why.
Secret Service Director Julia Pearson resigned Wednesday following several embarrassing security lapses in President Obama's security crew. Those incidents include a recent intruder who broke into the White House and an armed contractor with a felony record who rode an elevator with President Obama during his visit to the CDC in Atlanta.
Okay, let's take a look at both of those things briefly. First of all, you hop the fence at the White House, you run toward the White House, you're able to get in a door that's unlocked at the White House, then you're able to go through several other unlocked doors into the East Wing of the White House with a knife. Wouldn't you think that at a minimum, look, I lock my house at home. At a minimum, you would have the outside door locked to the White House, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
And I love their response, which was, well, in the future, we will lock the door when it's not in use.
What the hell? Like, wouldn't you feel like if you were that person, you would get taken out by a bullet as soon as you hit the grass?
Yes.
On the inside of the fence.
Oh, my God, yes.
I mean, I've heard, and of course, the Secret Service doesn't like to reveal a lot of details about their procedure, but I've heard that they have, they have people on the roof with
like
guns.
Snipers, right?
Yeah,
yes.
Looking down and also looking up in the event of a plane flyover or something like that. But how do you have the door unlocked? And how is there not some sort of a, perimeter through which you have to be metal checked before you get anywhere near the president when he's out on the road? Like, how did that guy get in the elevator with a gun?
Well, we could ask these questions. Secret Service agent Kyle Drexler is on the line with us. I believe he's in charge of the White House.
Wow.
Okay.
Good morning,
Agent
sir. Drexler, hello.
Good morning. How are you, folks?
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. I'm sure this is difficult to deal with the media right now because there are so many questions that, frankly, don't make the Secret Service look good.
It has been a difficult time for the agency, yes, and especially difficult for Director Pearson, who I think unfairly is getting a lot of the blame for this in the media.
Is that right? You don't think she should have resigned?
Well, obviously, things are in a certain sense of disarray, and I believe she believed it was the right thing for her to do, but it's certainly not all her fault.
Hmm. Well, she has been, she's been, working in law enforcement for 30 years, but unfortunately, this is how she's going to be remembered, and I know a lot of people have said good things about her. But what's going on? Why do you suppose there have been so many lapses in such a short period of time around President Obama?
Well, it's just a few highly publicized incidents. Regularly, security is top-notch here, especially here at the White House. And it's just a few minor incidents, which I believe have been blown, frankly, out of proportion.
Well, a guy jumped the fence and got into the White House with a knife, and that's blown out of proportion.
One guy.
Right.
One guy.
That's all it takes.
But I think the Secret
and
Service...
And a knife. Knife. What are you going to do with a knife?
Well, you could stab someone to death.
Yeah. A little bit. Ow. Ooh, ouch.
It was also revealed in recent weeks that, hey, wait a minute, somebody shot at the White House and we didn't notice it until just now. They think it happened back in 2011, but it was recently discovered that there were bullet holes in the side of the White House that had never been seen before.
Very far away.
Right, but it's still somebody shooting at the president's house. Shouldn't you guys know about that when it's happening?
Blah, 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 blah. It's a big house, okay? It's a big house. We got a lot to deal with here. If the bullet hits the wall, good, then that means the wall works, right?
Right. But
okay.
But it sort of means the Secret Service doesn't.
We're fine. Okay. Thank you. Everything here is good. It's just that... it's a second. There's a monkey in here. Oh, get the monkey out of
monkey
here. How did the monkey get in the White
in?
House? Yeah, he just jumped the fence. All right, go ahead.
What?
Well,
shouldn't you have fixed that by now?
You know, lady...
We're just saying.
Why don't you try doing our job for 5 minutes, okay? There's a lot going on in the White House.
I'm guessing that Lisa wouldn't let a monkey in.
I'd like to see her stop it. Did you ever try to stop a monkey?
Well, no, I haven't.
Rip your face off. the president from Mexico's here.
All right, well, he's probably okay. Wait, what's this? What's, Agent, what's happening?
That's Biden's donkey. Biden's donkey's walking around here.
Do you have a petting zoo at the White House or something?
Look, I told you it's busy. It's a busy place. A lot goes on here.
Hello.
Okay?
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Sorry. Are those the Three Stooges?
Yeah, the Stooges dropped by.
I thought they were all dead.
The ghost of the Three Stooges.
Oh, I see. Okay. What's happening?
You know, werewolf.
I guess your job is a lot tougher than we do. What was that?
$6 million man.
You probably shouldn't find that funny.
He's on our side. It's all right.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. That sounds safe. Horseshoes? What's happening there? Somebody counting change? Did you say horseshoes? I don't know what that sound is. Is it like pots and pans?
Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama are having a sword fight.
Oh. Okay. What? Whale fart? Yes, Bean, it's a whale fart.
Really, the last thing on my list.
Really, whale fart?
I don't know. You tell us, Agent.
That was a didgeridoo.
Oh, didgeridoo. It's from Australia. It's
from Australia.
I see. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
T-Rex is here.
Are you not worried about any of these? Because you sound pretty calm.
Yeah, I'm stoned.
Okay, good. Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 6:54.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Friday. Good morning, Ralph.
Before I get to the showbiz news, how about tickets to go see Garfunkel and Oates?
Yay!
Love these ladies. Very funny, very entertaining with their funny little songs and their cute little funny things that they do. Maybe you watch their show on IFC. Maybe you'd like to see them live on October the 16th at the Avalon and then have a little meet and greet with the band as well. Well, call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 16, since it's October the 16th is the date of the show, caller number 16 will win a pair of tickets to see Garfunkel and Oates and also have a little meet and greet with the band. If you don't win these tickets, you can go to livenation.com and purchase your tickets there. So call now, and we'll get right back to you.
We will not.
No. You said that's how
yeah,
it worked.
I said that, but that was false.
Well, who am I supposed to believe around here?
Never me. Oh, never.
Fair enough. Linda Lohan is in the news. Color me surprised. She made her stage debut last night in London, the official opening night of the play Speed the Plow by David Mamet. And the reviews are in. Here are what several UK newspapers said. Let's start with The Guardian.
Okay.
Lindsay Lohan provides the most interest in a revival of David Mamet's anti-Hollywood satire that otherwise fails to take wing. That's him saying she was the best thing in the play.
That doesn't make sense.
The Independent says, what a turn-up. Lindsay Lohan silences the doubters with a deft performance.
What?
The Telegraph. This workday but watchable revival doesn't soar to the heights of its predecessors, but you can't blame the star actress for that.
How did she pay this many writers off?
Bottom line is, the consensus seems to be that the revival itself is kind of bland, but Lindsay does a great job.
Ha! Ha!
Ha! Ha! Who'd have guessed? Good for her.
Yeah.
The last story we heard out of that was that
she was
couldn't remember
the
lines
and walking around, but apparently last night she got her ass together and went out there on stage and did a good job.
That? I mean, there have been those who have argued throughout the years that she does have talent. She is an actual actress.
Yeah.
So maybe?
Look, I'm happy. I'm happy to hear it. Did you guys see Now You See Me?
I saw that, yes.
The magic one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I did see that.
I enjoyed that film.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
They're making a second one. Now You See Me Too. Daniel Radcliffe has just joined the cast of that, joining the original stars Jesse Eisenberg and Morgan Freeman and Woody Harrelson and Dave Franco. They're all going to be in that film.
That was the one about, for folks who don't recognize the title, about the magicians who had a big stage act in Las Vegas and decided to commit a heist,
they
right?
They team up and use their magic to heist, yeah, with Mark Ruffalo also in that film. Isla Fisher, I believe, has backed out of it, however, of this production because I believe she is with child.
Ah.
So, but I'm looking forward to that. And another movie I'm looking forward to is the Baywatch movie.
I'm sorry?
Paramount Pictures is working on a big screen adaptation of Baywatch. Reportedly, it will be a comedy. Who will star as the Hoff's character? How about Dwayne The Rock Johnson? as the head of the
really?
As the head of the lifeguards there on the beach. Mitch Buchanan, I believe, was the name of Hasselhoff's character on Baywatch.
Right.
And apparently, this will be a 21 Jump Street esque sort of spoof of that television.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff.
Hey, the Hoff. What's
Listen,
up? Yeah.
I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
There are no tickets for anything. We're just talking about a movie that has yet to be made, Dave.
All right. Yeah, but where do I? Where can I get them? I mean, like, I guess, where is there?
When the movie comes out, I guess you can get tickets for the movie then when it's made, but it has...
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there? Because
why would you come to the radio station, Dave? We don't make movies here.
Yeah, and where... do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available, do you know?
That much I am sure of, yes. There are rooms at the Marriott available.
Why you would need one to see a movie,
I don't know, but there are rooms at the Marriott. That's what they do. The Marriott has rooms, and then they rent them to people, and you sleep there.
That's true.
That's what they do. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, the 3rd of Rocktober! Civil rights leader Al Sharpton is 60 years old today. Comedian Greg Proops, 55.
Smartest man in the world.
That's right. Tommy Lee's 52. Clive Owen is 50. Nev Campbell is 41, as is Lena Headey. Sean William Scott's 38. Ashley Simpson is 30 years old. A$AP Rocky, 26. And Gwen Stefani celebrates her 45th birthday today. That is beyond comprehension to me.
Yeah.
She looks like she's about 8.
I'm not sure it's that young,
well,
but...
Well, not 8, maybe. But she looks good. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Fly ball well hit to right. Calhoun is back. And that ball has reached the seats. It's a solo homer. And it's a Kansas City lead. Moustakas has given the Royals a 3-2 lead.
Not what the Angels were hoping for in the 11th inning. You know, it's so tough, Kevin. As you know, any sport in overtime, you play, and you see this so much, especially with your beloved Kings during hockey. You know, you play so hard for the entire length of regulation, and then it goes into overtime, and then it's anybody's game, and you've wasted all of that effort to get to that point to lose.
It comes down to 1 second.
Yep, 1 second. Just one pitch that was just too much in the strike zone. So sorry about that, Angels fans. 1-0. Dodgers, by the way, begin today their campaign toward trying to win their first World Series in 25 years. Speaking of sports, Friday mornings, we always look forward to this time of day on the Kevin and Bean Show because we welcome in our friend from Las Vegas, RJ Bell, who is the founder of pregame.com. RJ, welcome, my friend. How are you?
Hey, guys. Big weekend coming up.
Huge weekend coming up, and I know we want to talk a lot about the NFL, but just briefly, since we were on the baseball tip there for a second, the Dodgers and the Angels, you know, we've all been looking forward to, you know, the potential of a freeway series for the first time ever in Southern California. Dodgers and Angels are kind of the best bet on baseball in the postseason this year, right?
Well, right now, the Dodgers are the favorite to win the World Series. Now, there's a bunch of teams kind of clustered at the top, but right now, Dodgers are favored 5-1 payoff if they win the World Series. So 100 would win you 500. So still an underdog, but all teams are. They're the favorite. Angels, though, now they've lost that first game, so they've dropped to 7-1. So that loss, you know, certainly hasn't knocked them out of it, not even close. They're still among the favorites, but they aren't right there with the Dodgers anymore because of that loss. Interesting thing is you can actually bet what is the likelihood of Team A playing Team B in the World Series. So when it comes to the Angels and Dodgers, they're the second favorite right now. The odds of that is about 10-1 of them meeting in the World Series. And Baltimore versus the Dodgers is the only series with better odds. So it's literally the second best chance of all possible matchups, Angels versus Dodgers.
That is so interesting. And, of course, it's happened in other cities that have multiple teams. You know, it's happened with the Yankees versus Mets. It's happened in the Bay Area with the A's versus the Giants. So it'll be just amazing. I just can't even imagine how crazy this place would be if we actually had a freeway series. It'd be so fun. All right. Well, let's turn our attention to football. You had another great week last week on the Kevin and Bean Show. You were 2-1. You like to give us an upset special, a best bet, and also the big game of the week. Where do you want to start today, RJ?
Let's start with the upset. And it's a big game, too. It's the Patriots at home against Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a road favored by 1 point. This is only the second time New England has been a home underdog since 2005.
Wow.
Shows you how unusual this is. And if you look at it, the Patriots at home in the regular season, last 42 games, they've won 39 of them. So 39-3, so it doesn't make sense they're getting points. But if you think about it, this Cincinnati team has played so well. They've been upgraded as much as any team by Vegas since the start of the season. They're considered to be the third best team right now in the NFL. And what did we see with New England last week? We saw New England just look horrible.
Yeah. Horrible.
On national TV, and the public reacts to that. That average $20 bettor, he says, oh, look how bad New England looked. I don't want any part of them. But here's the thing. Brady and Belichick for the Pats, when they have a tough time, they tend to bounce back. This might be the trend of the week. When the Patriots are underdogs following a loss, so that's the situation this week, 17-2 against the spread. My upset special. It's a small upset. New England winning the game.
There is going to come a time where Tom Brady is not one of the premier quarterbacks in the league. But it's the difficulty is identifying when that moment has come. And a lot of people don't think we're there yet.
Well, a lot of people think we are, though. There's a lot of pessimism about Brady. I will say this, though. It's a spectrum. It's not going to be one day he's great and the next day he's horrible. It's going to be one day he's a 96 out of 100, and then a week later he's a 95, and it's going to keep going down. So I have no doubt Brady isn't the quarterback he was 5 years ago. The Pats, though, are still a good team.
All right, well said. Let's talk about Kevin's Arizona Cardinals. They had the benefit of a bye week last week. They're in action against Denver.
Yeah, this is my best bet, and we're going with Arizona plus 7.5. And one of the things is a lot of games end 7 in the NFL. That's a natural score. So when you get that extra half point, it's very attractive. Denver is a team a lot of people like to bet. Peyton Manning as a favorite with Denver, 22-12 against the spread. And they've won 17 games since the start of last season, Denver has. 16 of the 17 have been by a touchdown or more. That's why people love to bet Denver. That's why this line is so high. Peyton Manning off a bye. So last week, Denver didn't play. That's a bye. 8-0 against the spread off a bye. So you might think, oh, Denver sounds good. But this season, Denver has been outgained yardage-wise every game this season. They haven't won a single game against the spread. So there's been an inflated line because everyone loves Denver so much. That means the value is the other way. One last point is Arizona has a coach named Tom Moore. He was with the Colts from 1998. Through 2010. Remember where Peyton was from, the Colts.
Yep.
He has a deep knowledge of Peyton Manning. Plus, Arizona had a bye, so they had 2 weeks to game plan for this. I like the big underdog, Arizona, to cover the spread.
What do you think, Kevin? How are you feeling about your Cardinals? I know you say every week it's the road to
one step closer
to the Super Bowl, right? you like them against Denver, Kevin?
Well, that's a tough one. But 7.5 points, like he says, that's a big thing.
Pretty darn significant. Yeah. That's a great analysis there on the Broncos too, RJ. All right, and your final game, and this is the one that I'm most excited about, is again a team with a bye. The Seattle Seahawks travel to Washington to play the team we can't say their name of.
Washington. Washington's a home team here. This is Monday Night Football, but Seattle is a 7-point road favorite. You don't see many spreads this high with the road team, and you might have heard the old legend about Monday Night Football home underdogs. Oh, the crowd gets excited, and we saw that kind of on Monday, but check this out. If you go back to 2001, Monday Night home underdogs have covered the spread only 42% of the time, so that's an old wise tale. That said, though, we know in the NFL, the public overreacts to what we saw on TV. We talked about that. NFL underdogs, after losing the last game by 30-plus points, so that's what you get, is a team that's not supposed to win this week, that's Washington, that got killed last week. And remember, Washington got killed by the Giants.
Right, those teams,
61% against the spread, going all the way back to 1990, because the public overreacts to what they saw most recently. This Washington team has gained the fourth most yards per game in the NFL, and they've given up the eighth least yards per game. So their stats are good. Cousins is better than RG3 in the eyes of Vegas. And then lastly, Seattle, they have one of the biggest home-road splits. They're almost unbeatable at home, but they've struggled on the road, winning only 41% against the spread since 2005. So I'm going to take the unattractive Washington team, but they're getting 7 points, and that's where the value is.
All right, so your upset special then is the Patriots. Your best bet is Arizona, and the big game you're going with. I'm sorry, you said you're going with
Washington plus the 7.
Plus the 7. Okay. All right, we'll see how you do. I mean, you've had a phenomenal track record so far this year. RJ Bell from pregame.com. That's where you want to go to get all of your odds for all of your sports. Getting it done there in Las Vegas, man. We really appreciate the time. Have a super weekend.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. A lot of great stuff going on musically here in Southern California this week, including, well, Weezer is going to be performing live acoustic on our show at 9 o'clock this morning. You can listen to it here on the Kevin and Bean Show, or you can also stream it through KROQ.com. Also, Kings of Leon is in town this weekend, and they are playing at the Hollywood Bowl tonight. Would you believe, Kevin, we have front row seats to see Kings of Leon?
Whoa. I would believe that, as it's written right here on my piece of paper.
Oh, you saw that too?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
All right, what are we looking for this time around?
Well, this is Listener Oki. So you pick your favorite song from Kings of Leon. This always goes poorly, by the way, just for the record.
Yeah.
You pick your favorite Kings of Leon song, and then you call us, 1-800-520-1067, and you sing. And you really bring it to life, and you win tickets in the front row.
All right, okay. So if you're a big Kings of Leon fan, think of a song that you like and be prepared to sing it for us. 1-800-520-1067 will give you a chance to win in minutes. Also, Dan Harmon, creator of Community, joins us just after 8 this morning. Right now, though, I got a question for you guys, and that is, what's up with Florida?
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Have hard numbers on this, but I think the percentage of the wacky stories that we report on What's Up with Florida that involve drugs or alcohol has to be 98%.
Yeah, I guess if not 100, yes.
If people were sober, would there be no What's Up with Florida? Would this feature not exist?
I don't know, because it's also 100% of the stories that are wacky come out of Florida. So
yeah, that's true, too. So,
I don't know.
Well, this one, it's unclear whether drugs or alcohol were involved. It could have just been pure rage. Maybe you've been in this situation. The man's name is Philip Moore. He shows up at an ATM at the SunTrust Bank in South Daytona Beach on Florida. He's trying to deposit a check, and for whatever reason, the ATM does not recognize his check, will not allow him to deposit his check. Frustrating thing. We've all encountered a problem like that with the machine. He handled it perhaps in a bad way. He pulled a machete out and started hacking the ATM apart with a machete. Now, that's a bad idea for a number of reasons.
First of all, he's got a machete available.
Yes. That's the beautiful thing about Florida.
What the hell?
This guy's just banking on his own, and he happens to have a machete with him.
I go back to my car. I don't find a machete.
No, you don't. But I think maybe perhaps one of the other problems is you're on camera at the ATM when you go to try to deposit your check, and therefore the police know who you are. You're a customer of this bank, and they know who you are. And that's exactly what happened, as they identified him from surveillance photos, and he was arrested the next day as he rode his bicycle in front of the bank. He's been charged with criminal mischief and burglary to a structure. So that's not the way to handle that frustration.
No kidding.
Got a couple of 911 stories out of Florida this week. Here's a guy who really just needed a ride home, but maybe 911 is not what you do when you just need a ride. His name is Jonathan Ray, 34 years old. He called for a taxi from Vero Beach. It was not his first call to the emergency number that day. He initially was at a gas station, a Chevron gas station, at 4:20 in the morning. He called 911 to report some guys had tried to rob him there. The police showed up. They found out that he was very drunk. He hadn't been robbed. He was simply calling the police to try to get a ride home. Then he placed a second 911 call sometime later saying that he was messed up and he needed the number for a taxi cab. Dispatchers told him, this is 911. You want to call 411. Then he called a third time from the Chevron gas station saying that the owner had threatened to beat him up. Could they please send police officers? Officers went back to the gas station. They found out that the owner wasn't even there. There was nobody there, in fact. He was by himself. All the taxi companies in Vero Beach were closed, by the way, but the police said, hey, if you wait a couple of hours, they'll be open. No one would come get him, apparently. But by the way, do they not have Uber in Florida? Doesn't it seem like Uber might have been the right answer?
I do not think that's everywhere yet, no.
He called 911 a fourth time inquiring about a taxi, and the police this time actually did give him a ride, but to the police station where he was booked for misusing 911.
He's lucky they gave him three strikes before the last one.
Yes, that does seem exceedingly generous of the police officers. We go to Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Here's a 60-year-old man who is charged with calling 911 eight times in 2 hours to complain that he had food but no refrigerator.
What?
They were called to his residence. His name is Richard Wild. He was upset because he said he had food and no fridge. He told his county operator that the phone only dialed 911. I don't know why that is. Is that because the service is cut off and literally the only number you can call from your cell phone is 911, right? He said he was going to keep calling. He said when the officers got to his apartment, he said he called because he was upset that his property manager for his apartment had not installed a refrigerator in his unit. Maybe he just moved in. I don't know. He said, look, I'm aware it's not an emergency, but I don't care. According to the report, he said he would keep calling 911 until he received satisfaction with his complaint about the landlord.
That's the way to do it. You don't give up.
He admitted that he knew it was a civil matter and that the police couldn't do anything, but he still called 8 times. He admitted none of the calls were emergencies. He also was arrested and charged with misuse of 911 and is scheduled for court next
Tuesday.
They're
very forgiving of 911 in Florida.
Yeah.
Eight times.
Yeah.
They really kind of are.
Wow.
And finally, on this week's What's Up with Florida, perhaps you saw this story. It made national news out of Bradford County. This is a school bus. This could have been such a horrible thing. A school bus is carrying 15 elementary school students. It is slowing down to stop to let the students off. It's got its lights on. It's got that little those little things that stick out from the side of it to let you know, do not pass or something like that.
Stop sign or whatever it is, yeah.
But thank God the bus driver was paying attention because he saw coming up behind him at 50 miles an hour was a big rig truck that wasn't slowing down.
Oh my God.
Right at him. He's got a bus full of kids. So he sped up. This bus driver sped up, you know, to try to minimize the impact. And then he couldn't go fast enough, you know, at the moment to stop the truck from running into him. So that's exactly what happened. The bus was knocked off the road and into a ditch. None of the children seriously injured, by the way.
Wow.
That's amazing.
It's just a miracle. But the reason this story makes What's Up with Florida is because the 60-year-old driver was in the big rig with a naked woman.
Oh, God. Really?
According to Sheriff Gordon Smith, the woman in the semi was wearing no clothes. She was given a towel from the troopers to cover up in front of the children. Unclear what she was doing, unclear what the driver was
doing. She was distracting the driver, I'll tell you that.
That's exactly what was happening.
Wow.
He didn't even slow down. He was going over 50 miles an hour when he ran into the back of a school bus.
Dude, he could have been heading toward the Grand Canyon and you wouldn't have slowed down at that point.
The bus driver was a hero, said the police officer, who saw the accident and also stopped to help, and we did everything that we could for the kids. Unfortunately, none of them were seriously injured. That's how much we love boobs, by the way, is that we run into the back of a school bus if you're naked in our cab. And that's why we ask the question, what's up with Florida?
Florida, 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 what's up with Florida?
Front row seats at a big-time rock concert is something that very few people get to experience. Those are the seats that you, for whatever reason, it seems like they're impossible to buy, right?
That's a whole different experience, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's so it's just day, bizarre, really. And they're so close.
You are going to get sweat on, and it's a Kings of Leon show, so you will probably get some sort of alcohol spilled on you as well. But if that sounds good, it's tonight at the Hollywood Bowl. We're going to give you a chance to win those tickets right now. If you'd like to play Kevin and Bean, Listener Oki.
Listener Oki, Listener Oki, that's the game we're going to play. Listener Oki, Listener Oki, come and sing and don't be lame.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. You sing just a little piece of your favorite Kings of Leon song, and then I guess we just will try to decide who gets the tickets. We're looking for what? We're looking for passion. We're looking for entertainment value.
Showmanship.
Showmanship, yeah. Just bring it. Who do you want to go to first here, Kevin?
Let's start with Danielle in Long Beach. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome to Listener Oki.
Oh, my God, I'm so excited and nervous.
Well, you sound great already. What song are you going to do for us?
I'm singing You Somebody.
Love it. Let's hear it.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see. Painted face is still the places I can't reach.
Nice.
You know that I could use somebody.
All right. Very nice.
Strong. Yeah.
Do you sing, Danielle? Can you sing?
Oh, you're so funny.
No, he's being serious.
I thought it was good. I thought it was really good, Danielle.
No, he meant like professionally or something.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You guys are so awesome.
All right. All right. Well, hang on. You haven't won yet. You don't have to butter us up. So hang on. All right. Let's try Steven. He's in L.A. He's on line 2.
Hi, Steven.
Hi.
What song are you going to sing?
Sex on Fire.
Sex on Fire. Mr. Right. Rokey, here's Steven.
Yeah. All right, sing now.
And go.
Okay. All the commotion, the kid will play like play. Has people talking.
And stop. Talking. All right, Steven. I have nothing to say to you except please hold on. You might still win if there's an earthquake and everyone else online dies. How about Rachel, line three, Lomita? Was Rachel, I mean, was Steven trying to do a rap version of that song? That's what it sounded like
maybe.
To me. I really couldn't tell you. Okay. Rachel, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Thank you. Front row seats, Kings of Leon.
Yes.
You're going to sing what song?
I'm going to sing Wait For Me off of their new album.
All right. Oh, that's a good song. All right.
Go?
Yep.
Okay. Gonna open my heart, red at the stars, listen up. Gonna do what I'm told, go where I'm told, listen up. Take a shot in the rain, walk for the pain, and listen up.
Okay, she's doing the intimate small jazz club version of that song is what's happening here, I think.
Hey, Rachel.
Okay, all right. Okay.
All right, Rachel.
All right, okay.
Not so much from you, Lee.
All right, let's move on to Alex on line four. So we've had Danielle, Stephen, and Rachel so far.
Well, really, we've had Danielle and Rachel.
Let's see what Alex has got going on.
Hi, Alex.
Hey.
Welcome to Listener Rokey. We have two pair of seats in the front row for Kings of Leon. What song are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing Mi Amigo.
All right, here's Alex. Good luck.
I've got a friend, shows me all the good times, tells me I look better, chews me up and spits me out, and then wash my asshole.
Okay. All right. I think we'll get out on asshole, if that's okay with you guys.
Yeah.
You sitting by
good.
Steven?
That was a little shouty, dog, but thanks for the call. How about Gabriel, line five, please, Los Angeles. Hi, Gabriel.
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
We're not being blown away, and I understand we're asking a lot at this time of day to sing some big-time rock songs.
I'm ready to blow you guys away.
Okay. That's what I
do. The girls have been great. The guys have been poor, so this is your chance. Go.
Okay. My motivation has gone too soon. Good vibrations all over you. Act like you need it. You need it. Back in my mind, I'm on yes. my way.
Yes.
I see the smiles on every face.
Yes. All right, Gabriel.
Yes. Okay.
Nice effort, son. Thanks so much. Wow, we're running out of time here. Let's jump down to line eight. Give me some Jose in Baldwin Park. I get a good feeling about him. Hey, Jose.
Morning, sir. How are you doing today?
Very good. Thank you.
Good morning.
Welcome to Listener Rokey.
Not my first choice. I was going to do my own version of Sex on Fire, but somebody already did that.
All right, that's okay. You can pick another song. What do you want to do?
Here we go. We're going to do Closer.
Okay. All right, Closer.
Stranded in this spooky town. The spotlights are sweating and the phone lines are down. Blood is crackling cold. As she took my heart, I think she took my soul.
Wow, I think he's tearing up a little bit here.
I am. I know I am.
All right, Jose. Thank you. Mission accomplished, sir.
Yep.
We got you. Thank you. Let's do one more, and then we got to decide. How about Crystal on line seven? She's in Carson. She's going to have to be our last contestant. And we got to pick.
Hi, Crystal.
Hi.
Welcome to Listener Rokey. What song are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing Revelry.
All right.
Okay.
Revelry. Good luck.
Okay. What a night for a dancing, you know I'm a dancing machine. With the fire in my bones and a sweet taste of kerosene. I get lost in the night so high, if you don't want to come down. With the face of the loss of a good thing I found.
All right, we'll leave it there. Very nice. A little bit of a country flavor. I thought I was listening to a Miranda Lambert concert there for a second. Nice job. All right, guys, what do you think? We got two pairs front row tonight at the Hollywood Bowl. Who do you guys like?
Well, Daniel for sure.
Daniel was the first person we talked to, right?
Being yeah. I love Danielle. Right. I'm totally down with let's give some to Danielle, then we'll pick the last one.
Danielle, okay. Front row, congratulations.
Oh, my God, thank you.
Enjoy the show and your professional singing career.
That you've never heard of until this morning. All right, now we got a tough choice to make.
Yeah. So I'm kind of torn between Jose and Rachel.
I liked Jose very much as well, by the way.
Yeah.
What'd you think, Kevin?
I sort of like Crystal some.
Yeah?
Did you guys not like Crystal?
Not as much.
Okay. I liked Crystal, too. Yeah, I'd be cool with Crystal.
All right, let's do a drawing. We have one more pair. Lisa, right. Give us Rachel, Crystal, or Jose. Put those three together.
Well, I have to unwrap them all to see. Hang on.
We're being as fair as we can here.
What is she doing? She's putting them in an envelope and sealing them? I don't know.
Now she's, what's happening? Now she's mailing them?
Wait, hang on.
And the winner is?
Rachel.
Rachel! Yeah. Congratulations, Rachel!
Oh, my God, yes!
Enjoy the show from the very front row.
Oh, my God, thank you so much.
Listen to Rokey, listen to Rokey. Thanks for playing. Listen to Rokey, listen to Rokey. You thought them were lame.
Rocktober! Hey, are they still doing Rocktober for reals over at KLOS? Does anyone know?
I don't know.
I think all of the classic rock stations that exist do Rocktober.
Because I hope people understand we're just goofing on it, right?
Is KLOS still a thing? Is that still a thing?
Rocktober? I think it...
No, I don't
KLOS.
Know.
I think KLOS is still on the air. I think so, yeah.
If they're on the air, they're doing Rocktober.
I think...
Guarantee you.
I think they're a home shopping network or something now.
Are they still doing Two for Tuesday, though?
Sure.
Are they still getting the lead out or putting some zap in your step? Are they doing either of those things?
Yeah, that's not a lot of change happening in that type of radio. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, when you're a creator of a very popular TV show and you become maybe as famous as the show and they make a documentary about you, that must be a weird thing for Dan Harmon.
Well, if only we could ask him.
He's in the next room and he'll be joining us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Fascinating, fascinating guy. And the documentary is interesting as well. Ralph is here first with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
I just want to give the peeps a heads up that tonight at the Midnight Show at CineFamily.
CineFamily.
Yeah, that's the silent movie theater over on Fairfax. I believe that's where Dan's documentary is also airing at CineFamily.
All right.
Tonight, the Midnight Show, they are showing Samurai Cop.
Oh,
fantastic.
So if you want to see it on the big screen, Samurai Cop tonight at CineFamily, the Midnight Show. And in person, Joselito Rescabar will be there.
Now, forgive me, I'm not sure what character he
played.
You
don't know Joselito?
I'm not positive.
Rescabar? Joselito played the flamboyantly gay waiter in Samurai Cop, who tells Joe Marshall, the Samurai Cop, all about the lovely blonde who owns the restaurant that Joe falls in love with. Here's his memorable scene.
Who's that blonde girl?
Oh, her name is Jennifer. She's the boss.
The boss? You mean she owns this place?
Her mother owns the place.
Where's her father?
Bang!
Killed? Who shot him?
He.
Who?
Him.
Who's him?
Himself.
Oh, he committed suicide.
Yes!
I don't know what's funny about that, Joselito. That weird little man.
Now, is he in your sequel, Ralph?
Hell yeah!
Okay.
Joselito will be back.
Fantastic.
Himself? Yes.
I've never heard
his mother owns the place.
Scandalous.
It's my favorite character ever. So, yeah, he will be there introducing the film tonight in person. So.
Isn't it cool to think that 25 years from now, they'll be showing Samurai Cop 2, sequel, and it's going to be go see it at the CineFamily with Ralph
That's
Garman
right.
from that movie. It's going to be
they'll
speaking
wheel me
the,
out
it's
with
gonna
my
be awesome.
Oxygen tank and my 20-something nurse.
That you're married to.
I want to give you a heads up also that they are making a Baywatch movie. So prepare yourself. Do whatever you need to do to get ready for that. Paramount
Baywatch
Pictures has announced Baywatch, the big screen adaptation of the Hasselhoff TV show. Who will play Mitch Buchanan, the role played by David Hasselhoff? Looks like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Now, reportedly, this is going to be a comedic take on Baywatch. Sort of a spoof a la 21 Jump Street or Starsky and Hutch, that kind of thing.
I'm less interested in who's playing the Hasselhoff role and more interested in who's playing all of the women.
His jiggling co-stars?
Yes.
I'm sure they will stock the pond with appropriate fish.
I mean, seems like there's a lot to parody there.
I think so.
That's a good choice.
I think you're having a good time. Another movie in the works. Catherine Zeta-Jones apparently has signed on to play Griselda Blanco. Are you familiar with her story?
I don't think so.
Griselda was a Colombian immigrant to the U.S. who rose up past her life as a petty thief and prostitute to start up a cocaine business with her husband in New York. And then after she was deported, she went on to head up the Medellin drug cartel in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. Really?
She was the real deal. She was a ruthless drug lord. The movie will be called The Godmother. It's a dubious title. But, yeah, it's a fascinating story. And Catherine Zeta-Jones apparently has been tapped to play the character. So that's pretty cool.
I think I'd be in on that.
I do, too.
Sounds like a fascinating story.
Yeah. And congratulations to Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher. They had a baby. A happy, healthy little girl named Wyatt Isabel Kutcher. So congratulations to the Kutchers.
It's a girl named Wyatt.
Wyatt. Hmm. Yeah.
All right.
It's kind of cool. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ashley Simpson's 30 years old today. Sean William Scott turns 38. Lena Headey, she is 41. Nev Campbell is also 41. Clive Owen is 50 years old today. Tommy Lee is 52. Greg Proops, very funny man, is 55 years old today. And Gwen Stefani, lead singer of No Doubt, of course, a wildly successful solo career, and now one of the judges on The Voice. She's 45 years old today, and I find that inexplicable. I just refuse to believe it.
No, that's impossible.
There's a deal with the devil going on somewhere.
She has not aged a day since Tragic Kingdom, for God's sakes.
Yeah, agreed.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
1 hour from right now, the band Weezer will be in our studio. We'll be talking it up with them. Their brand new album comes out next Tuesday. But you're going to get a chance to see them perform live today, acoustic. And when I say see them, I mean you can watch them at krock.com. We're going to be streaming the whole thing live. That's 1 hour from right now at 9 o'clock this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, this is very exciting. We've been looking forward to this for a long time. It's time to go down to Harmontown, where the pee is yellow and the poop is brown. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Harmon joins us in studio here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Dan.
To be fair, the pee is yellow and the poop is brown everywhere.
Well, that's true. Especially at Harmontown. You are one of the most fascinating. I was saying this a minute ago. You're a behind-the-scenes guy who has become famous. And very rarely do you see, you know, the people who create television shows. And for folks who don't recognize Dan's name, he's the man behind Rick and Morty on Adult Swim and also Community, now on Yahoo. But a lot of times the people behind the scenes, the suits, the desk people, don't become famous. But you certainly have. This is a weird journey you're on, sir.
Yeah, you have to be really, really obnoxious. I actually hired a publicist who is here at the station whose job primarily is to keep me less famous than I otherwise would be.
Uh-huh. To watch over what you're doing and just make sure.
Yeah, I hire somebody. I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep embarrassing myself. it's sort of like he's like my Jenny Craig of PR. keeps me live and thin.
Is he going to come in here and take you out at some point if you start saying the wrong thing?
It depends on how the interview goes. Right. Yeah, if I start talking about Hollywood, a guy will kick in the door and tase me.
are you not a good – look, a lot of creative people, they have problems in Hollywood. They have problems working in a structured environment. They have problems working for especially a big network that's going to tell you how to be creative. Are you not a good fit for show business, do you think, Dan? No, I mean, would you be better served doing something that is a solo project like being a painter or something like that where nobody can tell you what to do?
I mean, I don't know. I think it's a big fragmented business. I think in 1989 I was unemployable, yes. I think there would have been a certain point. And I've never worked on anyone else's show. The few times I've tried to work on someone else's movie, for instance, you know, going in to do a rewrite on certain things, like it does inevitably. I kind of self-destruct. I got problems.
You don't play well with others.
I guess I don't play well for others.
Okay, yeah. All right.
At some point, yeah, I got oppositional defiant disorder. I don't know, something like that.
But you co-created the Sarah Silverman program and created Community and were fired from both. Do you think fairly you were fired from both?
Yeah. No, well, I don't know about Community. I don't know why I was fired, and I don't know. I think it was just like for that it was like the show's not generating revenue, it's not getting high ratings. You know what? What's the one big variable we haven't tried switching out? I would be the first to suggest it when they would complain.
That happens a lot of times.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have to find a fall guy or you're not doing your job.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, fire the DP. Maybe the show will suddenly double its ratings. You know, they try everything. They try not to start with the guy that created the show.
Right.
But they eventually will try that if the light keeps blinking on the dashboard. they'll change the pilot. But that I didn't think was – I thought that was just experimentation,
okay.
Honestly. I thought it was just like, let's find somebody that works better with Chevy Chase and see if this like magically comes together or something.
So your return to the show, was that a surprise?
That had to be.
Yeah, because it was the first time in TV history, I think.
I mean, that's unique.
Yeah. The weird thing is I kind of had a weird feeling in my gut that it was going to happen because I have this weird relationship with Sony where we kind of like we started to like, you know, they're a big, powerful company that does certain things really well. And like here I am, this guy that, as you mentioned, like I don't play for others well. And at a certain point, things got so honest between us that it just became a really functional, dysfunctional marriage.
Right.
I was just like, okay, apparently it's okay for us to look each other in the eye and say we hate each other and then continue to make television.
Well, it seemed that way for a while.
Yeah.
That season that you were on the bench, season 4, with characters that you created still showing up every Thursday night on NBC, what was that like for you?
I didn't watch because I knew from knowing myself that the only thing I could possibly do if I watched it was screw it up for the fans somehow. And I knew how important the show was to the fans. And I looked down at the ground and
you still haven't seen those episodes?
No, I got rehired. So as a showrunner, it was my job. I had to watch season 4, which I knew was a bad idea.
Right. Now, I want to hear about that, but you have to tell me, were you hoping, because both could be horrible. If it was great,
yes,
that could be the most depressing, soul-crushing thing in the world.
Exactly.
If it was awful, you're watching your baby drown.
You got it.
Which one were you expecting going in, and what did you find?
I was expecting it to be much. I was expecting it to be so good that I would want to kill myself.
No.
I was expecting it to be like, oh man, of course I suck. Like you know, and I don't.
Is that your general default?
Yeah.
Is that what you go to?
Yeah.
If there's something wrong, it's probably me.
Yeah. I wake up in the morning with the assumption that I could be doing better than I'm doing. I think otherwise I wouldn't do stuff. So
what was your honest assessment when you saw those episodes?
I mean, I watched them and I got, at the time I was confused because what I was watching was not. I thought it was going to be like a normal show. I thought it was going to be like you know, they got rid of me, and then I thought their big complaint about me was that the show was kind of wackadoodle, you
right?
Know?
Oh,
yeah.
And that I thought they were going to do like a really kind of grounded show. That's what terrified me. I thought I was just going to watch a normal show that was really funny that like functioned fine without me.
That bared no resemblance to your show. Right?
That bared a resemblance to it, but just got rid of the party hats and the the Steve Martin arrow through the head, just took that off, put on some glasses and kind of did its job well.
But
and,
instead, they tried to keep harmonizing it.
Yeah, which I thought was really admirable. Looking back at it now I'm like, oh man, those guys were, you know, that. Thank you. What a doff of the cap.
I read a description of that show, and it's inaccessible and insane, which I thought was an interesting description for a TV show.
Is that a quote from me?
No, I'm not positive where it could have been. Could have been from you.
What do you make of, and this is maybe a larger conversation, Dan Harmon, but what do you make of a show like Community that can be great, but maybe just not in its right home on NBC in prime time? I mean, that's really what it boils down to. It's not a reflection of the quality. It's a reflection really of the entire environment, right?
You said it, not me. If I say that stuff, it ends up in, you know.
Nod your head if you agree.
Variety.
Because I can't hear you.
Times have changed overnight. The last 5 years, everything has really changed. I mean, sitcoms now are – we're not really in big business if we're in sitcoms. We're clinging to the idea that there's going to be another Cheers or another Seinfeld. And in terms of ratings numbers, I don't know that that's – going to happen.
That may never happen again
on
right?
broadcast network TV, because what that would suggest is that something that is pre-written, pre-taped, edited, you have no reason to watch it at the same time as someone else, that everyone for some reason is gathering around the TV. And you can see that a little bit happening in fictional TV when someone's about to give birth or get married, you know, it's a special episode. But all of those shows, their beginnings predate. You know, Jim and Pam were eyeing each other over the cubicle tops before Jim and Pam's wedding episode of The Office was drawing these huge numbers.
For a long time, yeah.
And The Office itself, you know, it's like this hugely popular show, one of it's like when you look at the numbers and compare them to Knight Rider, you realize like we are living in deadly times for narrative television. But at the same time, that's where you get your Breaking Bads and your now we're kind of free to roam around and write crazy stuff that because if there's an audience of a million people willing to watch it, the suits are kind of happy. They can find a way to squeeze a little bit of money out of that. So now Vince Gilligan gets to do whatever he wants, and right. We all get rewarded for it.
So Community Season 6 being on Yahoo is a good thing then, Dan?
Absolutely. It feels like this is the way that the people have been watching the show the whole time, only now it's legal, you know. That was a big headline with Community's numbers was, this show has actually successfully drawn an audience that is very sought after because this audience is unmeasurable. This audience watches TV differently. They watch it for free. They watch it. They don't watch Colgate commercials. They don't have to.
But they are watching it. It's hard to say how many.
Yeah, it's really hard to say how many.
Mm. Dan Harmon is in our studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is, all the things we've talked about with Community and Rick and Morty and the new movie called Harmontown that we really want to drill down into and spend some time about because I learned too much about you, saw too much of you with your shirt off. and this was the takeaway for me is no pun intended, but the community of your fans.
Yeah.
I mean, you are some sort of Jesus figure to these people. I mean, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because they're mostly atheists.
So we want to talk all about that, Dan. So just hold that thought. We'll be right back with Dan Harmon here on the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock.
Kumho Tire, the official tire of the NBA. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
It is 22 minutes after 8. I don't know if you noticed, but Lisa has her phone sex voice today.
I love it, by the way.
I'm going straight to my next job after this.
Can we please find more for her to do today? This is the best. Dan Harmon is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The new documentary is out called Harmontown. We were just talking about the Cine Family. Where is that, Dan, where the movie is playing, the Cine Family?
It's at the Vista. I think it's continuing to play there. Now I'm looking around.
It is through October 14th.
People are shaking their heads.
No.
Where is it? I don't know why I thought she could yell something. Obviously,
we can hear her through the glass.
It is soundproof. Yeah,
we can find it. We can find it. But is that the only place in Southern California where it's showing on the big screen?
I it's just now sinking in. What a terrible job I'm doing plugging this movie. I didn't come in with my information.
It will be on iTunes and available for video on demand on November 4th. So just from a couple weeks from now, everybody can see it. So you were doing a podcast locally at the comic book store there, right? And then you decided you're going to hit the road. Now, this is one of the bravest things that I've ever seen. In your movie, you showed the road trip, the tour that you took out. And bear in mind, Dan Harmon is not a stand-up comedian. He's not a monologuist. He's a writer. So you hit the road with no act, and you just had faith that you would get out on that stage in front of these people and have something to say.
Yeah, maybe, or that I would get tomatoes thrown at me, and that's what I deserved, maybe. I mean, narcissism, people mistake it for plain old self-love, but it's really just self-worship, like whether you're crucifying yourself or into yourself.
There wasn't that panic of, I shouldn't be up here?
No, there absolutely was. I mean, that's in the movie. You can see when I go to Phoenix, which is our first stop on the tour, it's the first time I'm walking into a club that has hot wings on the menu, that has pictures of Gallagher on the wall and stuff, and it's like, I don't belong here. These people are going to be very disappointed. I wasn't sure if when you went out on a tour like this, if you were going to be performing for people who are walking in off the street,
right,
going, let's see some comedy tonight. And I was really worried, like, oh my God, I'm going to really disappoint these people. And the irony is that because of that, I tried to be funnier than I am. Obviously, it takes 10 years to write 5 minutes of really good stand-up. And I think that was the only bad thing about it at first. I had to learn to overcome that and realize that the audiences are the same everywhere.
Let's play this clip from the film because this is a great overview of some of the things that happen as you look back on that Harmontown podcast tour.
I and my intrepid friends loaded into a tour bus and went across the country. In each city, I got drunk and talked into a microphone for anywhere from 50 to 350 people. Who had all shown up because they liked my podcast, Harmontown. I crowd surfed pantsless, signed people's clothes while they were wearing them, drank moonshine, blacked out.
I just remember collapsing onto a table full of hot wings.
Oh, my God.
All of that is true, and all of that is in the movie. How was that moonshine in Nashville, by the way?
I don't remember. They brought it up in a jar. This guy brought it up, and I took a sip. And in the movie, I take a second sip, and I go, the second sip tastes better than the third. And it's not I'm not doing a joke. Like I'm already that temporally dislocated by this stuff.
Moonshine is a weird word that really could mean anything.
Yeah.
It could have just been straight gasoline.
Yeah,
well, you know,
exactly.
Dad.
Yeah, I don't think it was like made in a shed. It had a label on it, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it's sort of like absinthe. Like you don't know if you're drinking like the actual good stuff that's illegal, or if it's something that's called moonshine. But this stuff, I know one thing for sure. I had too much.
And you ended up singing a lot on stage. You ended up doing question and answers. You ended up having therapy, not only with the audience members and their problems, but I mean, one of the most harrowing sequences in the film is it looked like you and your girlfriend were going to break up on stage. It got so ugly and so uncomfortable, and I felt like that was your happiest night of the whole tour. More pain you put yourself through, the happier you are, Dan, and that troubles me.
Well, the documentary director, you know, he doesn't edit himself in, like, kind of goading me backstage. He was asking me the question. I think he was getting nervous, like, this movie's about nothing.
Oh,
this
guy's,
and he asked the question, like, do you think there's anything you could say on stage that would make those people not like you? Do you think there's any truth you could tell them that would make them go, oh, I don't like this guy? And I was like, oh, that's an interesting question. And so I tried to answer it on stage that night. And I confessed to a lot of things. And then when Erin came out, there were things I had said in the show that offended her. You can hear it all in the actual podcast, that episode. I think that's Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, okay. I think so. I think that sounds right. But you have no filter. And what do you think that's about? How did you get to the point where you can be so free with your words and thoughts, do you think, Dan?
Well, I'm a verbal thinker, and my brain is so empty of anything other than I hope people like me. I think that your average person, probably if they just take the lid off and speak freely, they'll probably hit a couple points where they're like, you know, I have sexual thoughts about fire hydrants, and they'll get fired. I'm almost asexually, like, criminally, like, kind of just self-interested. So it's sort of like the only thing you're listening to, no matter how freely I speak, is a guy going, gee, I wish everyone in the room thought I was interesting. So I think, you know, people who think one thing and say another, people who have that delay set up.
Most of us have at least some kind of a filter where we go, I'm having these thoughts right now, but they shouldn't be said out loud.
I'm going to share a couple of them. Yeah. I'm going to put the other ones in the buffer. There's extreme versions of those people that get away with a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah. True.
I mean, the extreme end of that spectrum is called a politician. You know, somebody who pays themselves to do nothing at all, but imply to other people that they can't take care of themselves and that they should have the job of being a leader. And if they say all the right things at the right times, then they can have all the money and all the power and all the control. I don't like those people. They're vampires.
Amen, by the way. I think most politicians don't say a single truthful or honest thing.
Of course,
at least in public.
Because if they said, I was born rich, I'm going to die rich, I'd like the job of being in charge of everybody, please give it to me, because
right.
It sounds like an easy job and a powerful one.
Yeah.
Of course, no one's going to vote for that guy.
We've interviewed politicians many different times, and it's not worth it. You know what I mean? Like, they have a prepared answer, and whatever question you ask, they just ignore and give you
they
an answer.
They go to their stump speech, basically.
Yeah. And in their defense, that we've turned that into the game. If you guys have a politician on here and he somehow says something remotely valuable, something that has a point of view.
That hasn't happened yet.
It's getting all over the, you know, it's like you guys brought that to the world and everyone gets to click on that. It's like these political races, you know, we actually watch them and go, oh, this guy's a better politician than this guy. Oh, did you hear that guy said this? Oh, that's going to hurt him. Oh, we don't even look at them as like leaders anymore. We just look at them as like these horses.
No, you're right. As their products, basically. They're like, which one is going to get my floor cleaner, basically, is what it is.
Yeah, which one can get through the longest period of time before he says a mistake, before he reveals humanity. And then we fire that guy. Oh, Dukakis on the tank. Get him out of here.
In our remaining moments, and I knew that this was going to happen, it was going to go by too fast, Dan, but in our remaining moments, let's talk about the audience a little bit. I mean, I said that they look at you like Jesus. I don't know if that's true or not, but they definitely identify with you as one of them who made it, right? That's the sense I get, is that they go, hey, you're like me and you're on the stage, so therefore I have hope in my life that I'll be successful too. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, I think so. I think they feel grody. I think they feel like they're always in danger of everyone turning and pointing at them and saying, you screwed up. What are you doing? Get out of here. Everybody kind of has that inside them, you know?
Right.
There's this nerd revolution happening where we're finding out that everyone on the planet is a nerd, you know? Like, and I don't think anyone's lying. I think that we all have that feeling. And so, listen to me talk, and I don't bully people when I do the show, and I reveal things about myself, and I survive. And I think that makes people think, oh, maybe I could be okay, as ugly as I am, as weird as I am. Maybe it's okay for me to be those things.
Well, it's a fascinating documentary. It's unlike anything I've ever seen before. It is called Harmontown. All right, we did some research for you here, Dan. Last night you were at the Vista, but the rest of the screening run is through October 14th, and it is going to be at the Cine Family on Fairfax, just south of Melrose. That address is 611 North Fairfax Avenue, and it's going to be there until the 14th, cinefamily.org, for information on screening times. And then you're available on demand and through iTunes on November 4th. Hey, real quick, you said off air, Community, you think, is debuting on Yahoo in January?
Probably the end of January. No
Have
firm
you,
date yet.
You filmed already?
No. We're just in the writer's room. We're about up to the third or fourth episode and just germinating ideas.
And I know you said, I've heard you say even as far back as Comic-Con, that you're trying real hard to get to Donald Glover back in the fold. Any success there yet?
God, I would consider Satanism as a I would draw a pentagram on something if I thought it could get him back. I've chatted with him a bit, and like I just think he's really happy out there. I don't know if there's anything you could offer him. I told Yahoo, and Yahoo agrees. Like, they're like, yeah, we'd move heaven and earth to get this guy back on the show.
Right, and you'll be at Chevy Chase's for Thanksgiving again this year, right?
Of course, always with the Chases. Yes,
Christmas Eve. You guys are BFFs, right? We know that much. Well, fascinating guy, and the podcast is ongoing, right? You're still doing it for people who want to continue to follow the story.
Yep. You can go to Harmontown.com, and yeah, we're going to actually start video streaming the podcast for a small fee that'll cover the cost of doing it. I've invested a little bit in some servers and stuff. We're gonna slowly upgrade.
Fantastic. That's great. Well, thank you so much for coming in, man. We really have enjoyed this continued success on both your TV shows and also on the movie Harmontown, which I hope people will check out. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, guys.
About 20 minutes away from Weezer, stopping on by, talking about the new record that comes out on Tuesday and performing live and acoustic in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. You're going to be able to watch the thing at krock.com. It's funny, Kevin. You know, last week we were talking about soccer, about this new thing they're trying in Ohio for silent soccer leagues.
Yep.
And then this morning I wake up and I see a guy who was taken away from his kid's soccer game by the police. He was watching a game in Connecticut over the weekend, and he was mad that a foul was not called on a big collision on the field. So he yelled to the ref, "Hey, ref, get your S together." So one of the league officials came up to him and asked him to leave the game, and he said, "I'm not going to leave the game." So they called the police on him. The police took him away for yelling that out at a soccer game.
Wow.
That's why in Ohio they're trying something called silent soccer, where the parents are not allowed to yell, and they try to keep all noise to a minimum and just let the game play. Here's a news report on it.
Sports and noise, they usually go together. But in Lebanon, at a youth soccer league, officials there are trying to avoid a little too much of this.
This is Thunder United's way of giving the game back to the kids. We just want to basically empower them and give them the opportunity to communicate openly with each other and just play the game the way it's supposed to be played without any interruptions.
Does it nip any problems in the bud? Loud parents, maybe hypercritical?
It can help reduce the amount of, if there are any problem parents, you know, but our club's been very good. This was in no way an effort to silence the parents because of their behavior.
Liar.
It's just our way of, you know, making the game, the kids, and just let the parents sit back and enjoy the game for an hour instead of getting all caught up in it. Just let them sit back and watch it.
Well, you don't want to get caught up in a sporting event. That's the last thing you want, right? But, I mean, clearly they're trying to shut the parents
up. Of course.
Up, right? Because they don't want parents saying mean things about somebody else's kid, and then the other parents hear that. So clapping is okay, but you're not allowed to whistle. You're not allowed to use any kind of noisemakers. Team coaches have been asked to keep their shouted instructions to a minimum and basically just be quiet. So we wanted to find out more about how this program is working out there in Lebanon, Ohio, and if we can expect to see it spread across the country. So we asked Dave to line us up somebody, and we have the club board director for Thunder United Metro Football Club. This is Rick Markage, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Markage.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We're fine. Are we talking to you in a bad place? Do you need to step outside or something?
No, I'm good.
Are you whispering? It sounds like you're whispering.
Nope. It's just the way I talk.
I know that you're supposed to be...
Shh. Why are you so loud?
Okay, but here's my question.
What?
Is there a game going on right now?
No.
Then why can't we talk at normal volume?
It's just nicer.
Nobody said anything.
Oh, sorry. I thought I heard something.
So Rick, how's this been working?
Great. The kids really like it. The parents are happier. I think it's really good. I think it's really, really good.
I'm sorry, what?
Good. It's really good.
It's good. But isn't half the fun of going to a sporting event being able...
Shh. Why are you yelling?
Isn't half the fun of going to a sporting event being able to yell and clap and root for your team?
No, it's for the kids.
Okay, but...
Kids are out there having a great time. This way they don't feel pressure from the parents yelling at them and stuff.
Okay, but if they're... Can't the parents root for their own kid? Like if your own kid...
Yeah, you hold up a sign. Hold up a sign, say, go, Jimmy, or whatever your kid's
but
name is.
You can't say, nice job.
If your kid's name is Jimmy, then that would be the sign you
okay. Hold. But you can't say, nice job, Jimmy.
No, you got a sign.
But I don't have a sign.
Well, get one.
Okay. I also don't have a Jimmy.
Well, then... Whatever your kid's name is, you put that on a sign and you hold it in the stands and they look over it and they see your support, but they don't have to be distracted by you yelling.
Now, is this just your team or is it the whole league?
It's our team. When you play our team, you have to play the rules.
Okay.
Our team.
See? Oh, no! Rick, what happened? Can't be acceptable under the new policy.
You are being way too loud.
Way too loud. Rick. Come on.
That's acceptable?
Sorry.
Why are you yelling?
Quiet. I don't think we still have to be quiet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that guy's off the phone?
That's good. He's gone.
Hey, Ralph, you like the Weezer?
Do I?
Got the Weezer for you coming up right after the top of the hour. They'll be in the studio with us here, and then we're going to walk on down to the Red Bull Soundspeed.
Sorry, did we ever tell them that Bean bought one of their albums out of the back of a van?
A bootleg copy?
I don't believe that's something that needs...
Was that ever brought up with the
band? I don't think it was. I think maybe we should mention that.
I don't think we need to. That seems like old
news.
Bean owes
them probably $8 because he got a discount bootleg version of one of their albums out of a guy's trunk.
Literally out of a van in a parking lot.
I have bought every single Weezer album that they ever made.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was the only one I ever bought out of the back of some guy's truck. So I've paid
stolen.
Weezer a lot of money over the years. I feel good about
lies.
It.
Lies. All lies.
Hey, they'll be here performing in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock, and performing acoustic this morning, by the way. And you're going to be able to watch the whole thing live at K-Rock.com, and you should. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat to get us there.
I want to let you know tonight, the Midnight Show. At the Cine Family, which is the theater on Fairfax, the silent movie theater on Fairfax, just off of Melrose. Tonight's Midnight Show, Samurai Cop. That's right, Samurai Cop! And in person, presenting Samurai Cop at midnight, will be Joselito Rescobar.
Have the clip if you want it, if you want to set it up.
Joselito. Played the legendary waiter in Samurai Cop, who fills in Joe Marshall, the Samurai Cop himself, all about the beautiful blonde owner of the restaurant that Joe falls in love with.
Who's that blonde girl?
Oh, her name is Jennifer. She's the boss.
The boss? You mean she owns this place?
Her mother owns the place.
Where's her father?
Bang!
Killed? Who shot him?
He.
Who?
Him.
Who's him?
Himself.
Oh, he committed suicide.
Yes.
What is happening?
This is the strangest performance in a strange film. But he'll be there.
That's so weird.
For going.
That is such a weird clip.
Yeah. You know what else is weird? We've been talking a lot about musicals lately for some reason.
Yep.
Johnny Carson musical, which we thought was
yes.
an odd choice.
Odd.
This one's even odder. How about the Charlie Manson musical?
Oh, that's going to be good times.
Charles Manson, Summer of Hate, the musical, opens in Hamburg, Germany tonight. Features songs in English. It's billed as a musical trip between L.A. and Death Valley.
Okay. You say it's in Germany?
Yeah, it's opening in Hamburg, Germany tonight. It's about the Manson family and then that massacre where actress Sharon Tate and four others were killed in 1969. All right. Good times.
Oh, my gosh. 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 Oh, my gosh.
Bean can't wait. It's going to be their opening night. What kind of musical is that going to be?
I don't know. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a good time at the theater, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mentioned earlier this week there's going to be a reboot of the Jackie Chan, Chris Tucker movie Rush Hour as a TV series. Well, yesterday CBS ordered a pilot for the show. Deadline.com says the TV series will stay close to the movie's premise. A Hong Kong police officer will be assigned to a case in Los Angeles where he's forced to work with a wacky LAPD cop. No word on casting yet, but I hope Joselito Rescobar gets a shot at one of those roles.
You're from Hong Kong? That's so silly.
Congratulations to Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher. They welcomed their first child into the world. Healthy, happy little baby girl named Wyatt Isabel Kutcher. So congratulations to the couple. And Chris Martin and Jennifer Lawrence apparently not only going strong, but moving rather quickly.
All right.
Speaking of perhaps moving in together, according to sources. Word is, by the way, that Gwyneth Paltrow is not too happy about this situation.
I'm sure.
Well, so?
Sources tell Radar Online.
I mean, wait a minute. Didn't they break up?
They have consciously uncoupled,
all
yes.
right. So you don't get a say in what he does.
Well, you do when you have kids, I guess. Because Radar Online says that she has forbidden the mention of the name Jennifer Lawrence around their two children, Apple and Moses. And doesn't want them to see any of her personal items laying around Chris's house when they're with him. So we're going to take the panties off the chandelier, I guess, when they come over.
It is awkward for couples that break up that have children on how to integrate the new, you know, dating partners into the situation.
Sure.
It is awkward.
Sure.
Yeah. But it seems like it's sort of up to him to do.
Listen, this kid's right? name is Apple. He knows all about awkward, okay? Any kid is used to strange situations. It's Apple and Moses.
That'd be fine.
They've had the tar beaten out of them in the playground so often that anything else is a walk in the park. Today's celebrity birthdays, all these stars were born on today, the 3rd of Rocktober! Wow, we have to get the guitar tech out here. That does not sound good. Remix, what are you doing?
Just remixing.
Just play the clip.
I did! Say it again, I'll do it.
You're not a DJ? This is Hakkasan.
Maybe it is, maybe I am.
It isn't. There's no maybes about it. It's not, and you're not.
This is not Hakkasan, and I'm not a DJ.
That's
you're right.
That's remix.
That's remix.
That's remix. Al Sharpton, 60 years old today. Greg Proops is 55. Tommy Lee turns 52. Actor Clive Owen is 50. Nev Campbell's 41. Lena Headley's 41 as well. Heady, rather. Sean William Scott's 38. Ashley Simpson is 30. A$AP Rocky is 26. And Gwen Stefani celebrates her 45th birthday today, which I refuse to believe.
45th.
It's not acceptable.
No. Step it up, ladies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Whatever she's doing, do more of that.
Okay. Yeah, be more like Gwen. I think that's reasonable.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, there's good news and there's bad news.
What's the good news first?
The good news is that Weezer's going to be performing live acoustic in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock in just a few minutes, and it is going to be awesome.
Great.
Because they brought a violinist, and they're doing some last-minute tweaking, and they're going to be ready to go here shortly, and we're going to love it. The bad news is you tune in right now at 9 o'clock expecting to hear Weezer, and we're not quite there yet. So, but it does give us an opportunity, though, to visit something that I think we need to address on the air, because I am just getting overwhelmed with emails and tweets and Facebook posts that sound like this. Dear Kevin and Bean.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do something about Beer Mug.
in his Major League Baseball promos, he keeps saying verse instead of verses. It's driving me crazy. I thought I misheard it yesterday, but no, he's doing it again today.
Exactly the same with me. I thought I heard it wrong or whatever. I was like, there's no way he said verse.
You thought maybe he was talking about poetry?
Yeah. I don't know.
Let's hear. Can we just isolate just that little piece of the promo that we're running here?
And preceding tonight's game, you got Tigers versus Orioles today at 8:30 in the morning.
All right. Now let me hear some of the other one, please.
Tigers versus Orioles, game two today at 8:30 a.m. And then you got the Royals versus your Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, game two.
Okay. Oh, okay. I love Cardinals versus Dodgers.
So it's versus, right? Or it's V. You've heard people say V.
Or VS, right? Yeah.
Right, but there's no verse. Verse is not a thing.
Has it ever been verse?
Never.
In history?
I don't think so. Look, well, Muggs, I think he's looking.
It's V-E-R-S-U-S is how it's spelled.
Yes.
Spell it out, versus.
Yes.
Yes.
Muggs is looking like he has something to say.
He's very angry.
Here's what happened.
I'm angry. Look at him. He's about to go off on
us. Let me explain. This is what happened.
Bring it, bitch.
Yeah. Please explain this.
It didn't occur to me until today that I was saying it wrong. I've always done it like that.
You've always said verse?
Wait a minute.
Yeah. So in your life, no one has ever said, hey, there's no such thing as verse.
No one. Nobody has corrected me.
I don't buy
it
because I've never heard verse. Ever.
I will take everybody's scorn because I like proper grammar and I like using proper grammar. But
obviously.
At this point, I think everybody just needs to calm down a little bit because this is why I said verse. Because it's on the page, it's VS.
Right.
So I'm just
short for verses.
I'm abbreviating verses then.
Hold on. I'm confused. Which story is true now? That you thought it was right when you said it?
Yeah.
Or that you're saying it on purpose because you're trying to shorten the word versus?
Both are true, Bean. I didn't know it was right. And now I'm saying it on purpose.
I did it on purpose. Both are right.
I've done it all my life and I said it purposely.
I've never done it before and I've always done it. Yes, exactly what you said.
I am very confused.
Totally wrong and totally right.
I'm very confused by your answer, Beer Mug. I thought you were saying that you've always said verse because you thought verse was right and you didn't know until just now that it's wrong.
That is his first time.
That's what he said.
That's
explanation one.
He did it on purpose to shorten verses to verse.
And now everybody just needs to chill the F out.
Because
we
need to chill the F out.
We can say whatever we want. You're wrong.
Okay, but it's just one word. You're going to live.
It sounds like ass.
Sure, it sounds like ass, but you're going to get through your day fine. I said verse instead of verses. Whatever. Get over it.
Wow, look at the attitude.
Look at the attitude.
You're a, hard to believe, a professional broadcaster.
Well, hey, easy. He works at a radio station.
In this position, though, he's the guy who's being asked to do these commercials that I'm sure are very expensive to be on the Kevin and Bean Show to promote the broadcast.
Right, and that is the fault of whoever asked him to do it.
But don't you think they deserve him to only speak English in these commercials?
Nope, they deserve what they get. Because they hired Beerbug. That is on them.
Let's put it this way.
Let me play it again.
Okay, play it again. Tigers versus Orioles, game two today at 8:30 a.m. And then you got the Royals versus your Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, game two.
It's like fingernails on a chalkboard.
It's
totes verse.
Okay. If they had such a problem with it, they would have said something.
Hey,
Beer Mug, you're saying verse instead of verses. Never came to me and said anything. So they're obviously okay with it, so it's not a big deal.
Oh, man.
You've been saying it your whole life.
Yeah.
No one has ever corrected you until now.
No one has ever corrected it. Not even yesterday. No one said anything yesterday.
Okay, wait a minute.
The client didn't come back to me.
Hold on. Take it easy.
Okay.
By the way, you're the one at fault here. So
why
stop yelling
so
at us.
Why is he so angry at us, by the way?
I don't know.
Stop yelling at us. Okay. You're the one that's at fault here.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Why are we bad for having noticed that you're wrong?
Have you ever noticed that everyone else says verses?
No.
That you've never?
Not until today.
What?
Yeah.
So all the thousands of hours that you've watched SportsCenter and heard people say the word versus, it never in your mind clicked at all that versus is how the word is pronounced?
No, and it's weird because I know how to differentiate. Is that even a word?
Nope.
Differentiate.
It's close. I mean,
there you go.
Differentiate.
Move past.
Verses and verse. I know the difference between verse. A verse is something in a poem.
Right.
Or a song or whatever.
Right. Okay.
Verses.
So then explain this.
Tigers versus Orioles, game two today.
So they're doing poetry?
Okay, it was early.
Are the teams doing poetry?
I had a it was
Are
early.
They having a poetry contest?
No, they're not.
It was that is verse right or wrong?
It's wrong. And I'm wrong, but everybody just needs to chill the F out.
Don't tell us what to do, wrong person.
The only person that can't tell us to chill the F out is you.
It's the wrong guy.
Everybody else can tell us that. Our listeners can tell us that. Our bosses can tell us that. Everybody in the world can tell us that.
Look,
not you.
It's annoying. I know when somebody misuses an English word, it's annoying. And it annoys me, and I get the point. But you're going to be fine. You'll get through your
day. Not saying we're not going to be fine. We're not saying we're not going to get through our day. We're just saying you're wrong.
Okay. That's
can I play it again?
Hold on. On the whole scale of the whole spot, that's my.
Can I play it again?
Hey,
yes, absolutely. Play it again.
Tigers versus Orioles, game two today at 8:30 a.m. And then you got the Royals versus your Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, game two.
Minutia.
That's what I'm saying.
Minutia, by the way.
It's minutia.
It's minutia.
Okay.
No, but seriously, it is.
Yeah.
Minutia.
Yeah. Minutia. Right.
Okay. And by the way, that's not minutia. It just isn't. That's not minutia.
Word.
It's the wrong word.
Repeated. Okay. Repeated.
I was abbreviating.
No, you were. You were. You've said that your whole life. Which one is it? You've said it your whole life or you were abbreviating. Oh. Which one?
I like to plead the fifth.
Once again, it's the world versus beer mug.
Oh my God. So, you remember all week when we were saying that Weezer was going to play live at 9.
Right? Yeah, I remember. That's true. We said that all week long.
How many times?
Every day. Oh, 20 times.
How many times did we tweet it?
Another dozen.
And it's 23 afters. It hasn't happened yet.
9 came and went, but that doesn't mean it's still... Look, good things come to those who wait, Kevin.
Right.
You've heard the old expression. I'm telling you, I'm looking at the Red Bull sound space right now. Weezer is on stage and they are playing.
All right. And so, they're sound checking and everything is
looking good, sounding good, and it's going to happen. It's worth spending a couple of extra minutes to get it just so. So yeah, Weezer on the way, and when it happens, don't forget you can watch it at krock.com.
All right. It is 24 minutes after 9 o'clock. Than never, right?
Hi, Weezer.
Hey.
Hi.
Yeah.
You guys are spoiling us. You were in with us a few weeks ago to world premiere the Back to the Shack single, and then here we are on the practically on the eve of the album coming out on Tuesday. How are you?
Good.
Wonderful.
Good.
Thanks for having us back.
Ow. I just hit my head so hard. That really hurt. Yes.
What happened?
I just hit my head on the microphone so hard I almost gave myself a concussion.
All right.
Okay. I may be too excited for Weezer.
Yeah, too excited. Calm down.
Need to dial it down.
So the album is available. It's streaming now at krock.com. I know you guys are very active with the kids on the social media. What kind of response are you getting? What has confused you that people have said or asked about the new album so far?
Well, this is the most positive response we've ever gotten. It's kind of hard to believe. I'm pinching myself.
Really? It's the most positive?
Yeah.
Does that make you kind of go, hey, well, wait a minute. Really? Like, does it make you doubt it?
What's the most positive doubt since yourself? The internet's been in existence?
Okay, all right.
The first couple records, we didn't have this kind of feedback.
Okay.
No, yeah, I knew we loved it, and it's just weird that when other people like it, too.
Do you ever get over the we love it, but maybe everyone else won't? Do you ever get over that?
What do you mean by get over it?
Well, I'm saying, will you ever think, we know this is great, and we know people will love it?
I feel like we were ready for that this time.
This time.
We worked so hard, and we love it so much, and we're ready to go out and fight and share it with the world and make sure everyone has a chance to hear it. And then so far it's been surprisingly easy. Our fans really seem to like it, and that's all we care about.
It's a great album, you guys.
Thank you.
It's nice.
Seriously, I mean, it's so fun, and I'm always curious. I mean, you're Rivers in particular. You are a very a confessional first person songwriter. I feel like, you know, every songwriter takes bits and pieces of things and they elaborate and they change things and move things around. But some of your songs, it seems to me like, are really real life, straight from the heart. Is that me projecting that on you, or is that a factor in some of these numbers that they're actually you really seeing it, laying it out the way it is?
Yeah, that's the way it's always been for me. And sometimes I try to write songs from a fictional perspective, and it just doesn't seem to work with my voice or in this band. I'm not sure what it is, but it's magic when I'm singing about what's going on in my day-to-day life as if I'm singing right from my diary.
Is it strange to sing songs that you wrote when you were in a different place in life? Like, your whole emotion, your whole stability, everything about you was different at the time you wrote it than it is now.
It's not strange, because first of all, we get up on stage, and then, you know, if you're standing there in the midst of Weezer and Say It Ain't So, for example, is taking shape around you and coming to life with these guys playing their parts, it's just the most awe-inspiring feeling, and there's no room for self-doubt at that point. But, yeah, there's a little bit of different perspective. A song like Say It Ain't So, you know, I'm pointing the finger at parents, basically. And now I'm a parent myself, so I have a different perspective on that. But it's not bad. It's just interesting.
Yeah.
The band Weezer is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. They're going to be walking down the hall to the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock in just a couple minutes. We're going to be streaming that live. They're going to be performing a few numbers, mostly from the new album, I think, acoustic. And then you got a bunch of other promotional things coming up that I want to hit before we say goodbye here. A couple of songs I wanted to ask you about. The British Are Coming is one of the strangest ideas for a song I've heard from any band.
I was hoping you would say that one, because I was going to mention it myself.
Yes. How does a thing like The British Are Coming exist?
Well, you know, that's one where you say, well, what does that have to do with Weezer or River's life? But it's just like an extended metaphor, and I don't want to go into it too much. But, yeah, on the surface, we're talking about the Paul Revere's Midnight Ride and the American Revolution and rebelling against the imperial forces in your life. And we've had some of those forces in our lives, so it's just basically us saying, hey, Weezer team, wake up. We got to defend ourselves. We got to go out there and fight for what we believe in.
Huh?
So it has to be the only song in history that uses the phrase "punk ass redcoats." What do you think?
I would think so. Yeah.
So absolutely. who's your King George right now, Rivers? Who is it? Whose crown are we trying to knock off?
I feel like King George has been defeated with this record, and we've formed our own little nation here, Weezer Nation.
Sovereign. Nice. It's a sovereign nation.
It's a sovereign nation. Yeah, I right. like it. And the other one that I wanted to mention that is such a spectacular song, and the thing I love about it is that it sounds like it could have come out in 1965 or 1985 or today, and that is Go Away. And I know that's one of the ones you're going to be doing today.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that and how your friend Bethany ended up on the record?
I was just going back through our Twitter history to find out how it happened. It was definitely through Twitter. And I think it was a mutual fan of ours tweeted something like to both of us, hey, Weezer and Best Coast should do a song together. And I think we were both like, yeah, that sounds like a cool idea. So
somebody that was following you and following her suggested it that was not in either of your camps.
It was just a fan, yeah. Huh. And so here we are a few years later, and we're going to premiere the song right here.
And she's here, and she's going to sing with you.
That's yep. wonderful. Fantastic. That's so fun. And I hope, by the way, I know that, you know, Best Coast is obviously already very popular, but I hope that if there are some people out there who will be introduced to her and her great band through this record, because they are well worth seeking out. They're
she's outstanding. Great.
Yeah. Okay, so big day today for Weezer. The album, as we mentioned, comes out available everywhere on Tuesday. You guys are doing a live Twitter chat. That's Rivers and Scott. You guys are going to be on the at Weezer account answering fans' questions this afternoon at 2:00. Is that right?
Yes, that's what I heard.
Okay, 2:00. I just wanted to double check
that.
I wanted to double check that time.
No, that's true. 2:00.
Sometimes it's East Coast, West Coast, you know. And then you got a couple of in-store appearances, which I can imagine can get pretty out of control with your fans, especially in a tiny little place like Fingerprints down in Long Beach. You're going to be down there next Wednesday, I want to say. You can go to the Fingerprints website, as I understand it, to sign up for a slot if you want to be there for Weezer at the in-store at Fingerprints. And then you're playing some gigs in November in venues that are far too small. What's up with that, boys?
Well, we wanted to play the new album from beginning to end, and we wanted it to be just those, I don't know, maybe 1,000 most hardcore fans in each city, and those fans that would already know the album, know all the lyrics, and they're going to be there to sing along. We even have some roles they can play. There's a choir part at the end of the album, so we'll invite about 9 girls and 9 guys from the audience to come up, put on the Weezer choir robes, and join us at the climax of the album. And it's just so much fun playing these small venues and feeling the energy of the crowd.
Can you see people all the way in the back in these little places? And does that help? Or do you still only see the first two or three rows because of the lights in your eyes?
No, we see everybody.
See everybody.
Yeah. And everything. We see way too much.
Too much.
Well, it's a wonderful album, you guys. You know, Rolling Stone magazine gave it 4 out of 5. I think it's at least that good. It's one of my favorite Weezer albums already, and I can't wait to spend some more time with it. So I hope everybody is streaming it at krock.com and plans to buy it. Give these boys some money when it comes out on Tuesday.
Thanks.
Shall we take the walk down the hall to the Red Bull Sound Space?
And tear down the wall, yeah.
And the wall as well.
Yeah, take down the wall.
All right, the band's going to be playing live for us when we return right after this on the world famous K-Rock.
And Weezer is here.
You sound surprised a little bit, Kevin.
I just can't hear myself. That's all. Weezer is here. We're at the Red Bull Sound Space. They are going to perform live. The album again comes out Tuesday. We're very excited to have Weezer.
Can we before we give them the big intro? Can we check their mics? Let's just hear from everyone and make sure everything's on and going here. You guys hearing any of that on the air? How's that sound, Muggs? You happy?
Sounds good.
All right. Here's Weezer, ladies and gentlemen. What's up first, you guys?
We're going to play a song called Lonely Girl from our new album, Everything Will Be All Right in the End. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. A lonely girl. Come on, I know how to dance, and I am the only one who ever takes a chance. Give it a try, you're not gonna die, unless you refuse to live and hide away tonight. I'm lonely, so lonely. Can't you relate? Open your arms, let me come in. I never hurt you, girl, 'cause that would be a sin. I'm lonely. So lonely, can't you sad. I'm here to help you realize it's not so bad. So baby, in your arms, let me come in. I never hurt you, girl, 'cause that would be a sin. A lonely girl, a lonely girl.
Well, now I'm sad. Now I'm sad. Now I'm feeling all the feels, you guys. I'm really, that bummed me out. That's not what you want on a Friday. Now I'm sad.
Cheer you up for the next one.
Hey, who's your terrific string section there? What's going on with those guys?
Those are my friends Nathan and Akiko. They're actually in the LA Philharmonic.
They sound
no kidding.
Very terrific on that song. Yeah, that's fantastic. This is Weezer. They are on stage in the Red Bull Sound Stage down at K-Rock. You are watching this, I hope, right now at krock.com. New album is called Everything Will Be All Right in the End, available everywhere on Tuesday.
By the way, just to mention that you can watch this for 24 hours at krock.com.
That's right.
Not just right now.
Yeah, so if you just tune in, you miss any of it, or you just want it on a continuous loop in your house, you can have full-time Weezer TV. That is now possible, thanks to the miracle of the internet. All right, what do you want to play next, guys?
Now let's do Go Away, featuring Bethany from Best Coast.
Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Live Weezer.
Oh, there's a lot more people in the sound space than I knew. That is Weezer along with special guest Bethany from the band Best Coast. A new song is called Go Away from Weezer's album Everything Will Be All Right in the End down at the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. Hey, by the way, I wanted to ask you about that title. You have a little sound clip at the very beginning of the album that sounds like it's like from an old radio show or something like that. Is that a real clip that used those words, Everything Will Be All Right in the End, or is that something you guys manufactured because you already knew that's what the album was going to be called?
Well, the voices you hear in the beginning, those are voices we've heard, especially over the last 4 years, but also through the course of our lives, here and there from friends, family, and people in the music business. So we just, we recorded them and put them on our record, and they're kind of buried here and there, so you can get a bit of the story as you go along listening.
We mentioned before that the guys are going to be doing a Twitter chat at 2 o'clock this afternoon. You just use the hashtag Ask Weezer, and you can ask them whatever you want, and they will answer the questions. You got some more music for us here today, live.
Yeah.
Which song?
Oh, is it time to play another?
Sure.
Okay. We'll do a song called Ain't Got Nobody, which is the first song on the album.
I had another nightmare.
Go back to sleep, honey. Everything.
Everything will be all right, man.
3, 4.
Going to L.A.
All the girls in love.
That one is so different from how hard it rocks on the album. You guys like playing the songs acoustic?
I do. Yeah.
Sound like we don't.
Is it a lot of work? Is it a lot of work to strip it down and do it this way?
No, I mean, it just gives me more opportunity to be subtle and expressive with my voice, so I really appreciate that opportunity.
So you like it more?
Yeah, I do. Well,
in,
not
in a,
more.
More, but in a different way.
I like mixing it up.
Sure. We have time for one more. Can we get one more from Weezer? The new album again is out Tuesday. Everything will be all right in the end. And they'll be doing some appearances next week.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. The Fingerprints as well. Fingerprints in Long Beach on October 8th, right?
Yeah. Let's do one more, guys.
Okay. Love it.
Brian's just plugging in his special guitar. You ready? Okay. Ready? What's with these homies dissing my girl? Why did they go to front? What did we ever do to these guys that made them so violent? But you know I'm yours, and you know you're mine. Ooh-wee-oo, I look just like Buddy Holly. Care what they say about us anyway. I don't care about that. Don't you ever fear I'm always
care what they say about us anyway. I don't care about that. I don't care about that. Bang, bang, knock on the door. Another big bang, you're down on the floor. Oh, no, what do we do? Don't look down, but I lost my shoe. I can't run and I can't kick. What's the matter, babe? I'm feeling sick. What's the matter, what's the matter, what's the matter, you? What's the matter, babe? I'm feeling blue.
That was fun. So much fun. 20 years of Weezer music. Yeah, that takes us back to the beginning. Thanks, guys, for coming down here today, for all the years of visiting K-Rock and doing shows and being here and just being cool.
Thanks for having us.
We love you, too. The album is out on Tuesday. Stream it right now at krock.com. And don't forget, if you joined us late, you can watch this for 24 hours on a loop from the Red Bull Sound Space to see Weezer here at K-Rock. I think we're about out of time for today. Monday, though, we'll be back with an all-new show. Lamorne Morris is going to be here. He is Winston from The New Girl. Comedian David Spade on the program. We'll talk NFL with our friend Andrew Siciliano, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, and so much more. That's all Monday right here on K-Rock. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you then.